So here I'll talk briefly about some recent mitigation guidance that came out on the federal level. Up until 2016, guidance on species mitigation was very scarce and very skimpy. For those of you that have done wetlands permitting and wetlands mitigation, there's a set of rules that regulate how that goes, and there's a lot more structure to that process than there is on the species side. But in 2016, the Obama administration updated the mitigation policies, did a service-wide mitigation policy, an ESA-specific mitigation policy, some implementation guidelines specific to the ESA, and then did a policy regarding how they may award credit for folks that voluntarily add mitigation before a species is even listed, if it becomes listed later. Those policies were generally helpful because they put some more structure to mitigation that previously is kind of a black box in terms of what kind of documentation is needed and what the service is expecting. You know, on the flip side, they also went a little bit too far in requiring a net conservation benefit or a conservation gain, which is not what's required in Section 10 of the ESA. And so they were very helpful in some ways and went a little bit too far in other ways. But at any rate, going back to the extortion comment that I mentioned the other day, or a minute ago, the Trump administration withdrew all those policies. So none of those are valid right now. I will say, and Christina is going to get to this in detail, the mitigation package, all the various documents that go into establishing mitigation, the implementation guidelines that I have there were the most helpful in finally putting some structure into what that list looks like and what those documents should look like. And so even though they're rescinded, you'll find the field offices sometimes going back to those policies to give them some guidance on what those documents should look like, just because there's nowhere else to go. And so now we're back to limited guidance. There's a 2003 conservation banking guidance that's pretty skimpy, and then the HCP handbook has some discussion of mitigation in it in the Section 10 context.
So in addition to the federal wildlife laws and the ESA sections that Brooke mentioned, you may find yourself with some mitigation land requirements as a condition to another permit. Some state and local permits, both wildlife-related and sometimes not wildlife-related, could find you in a situation where you have to have some mitigation land as a condition to your permit. So I threw up just kind of a handful of not totally random states, but I wanted to first touch on a couple of the wildlife programs in states that are relevant to this crowd, potentially. Obviously, Texas. Texas Parks and Wildlife Department administers an endangered and threatened species program in Texas. It does not, however, have the equivalent of the federal incidental take permit. In Texas, there are some permits for research and educational purposes related to endangered and threatened species, but you won't find yourself going to seek an incidental take permit in Texas. Likewise, in Oklahoma, very similar situation. They do have their own list of threatened and endangered species for that state, but do not have their own incidental take program. Illinois, I had to throw that in because that's my home state. Illinois does have an endangered and threatened species program administered by the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, and they do have an incidental take program of which mitigation is a part. And so through the compilation of your conservation plan in Illinois, you will be made to consider some sort of mitigation of your project, and putting land under conservation easement is one type of mitigation that's acceptable in Illinois. And California, the state most notable for its environmental and other regulations, I think, as you may assume, has a robust permitting program that mimics the federal program, although some may say it's a little bit more strict. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife program does have an incidental take program, a permit program, and the CDFW reserves participation in conservation and mitigation banks for certain species and does not allow it across the board, which I thought was interesting. But they clearly have a program for a privately held mitigation land to be a part of that mitigation effort in the California incidental take permits. And then just generally touching on other state and local permits that may arise, that where you may have mitigation land arise. If you have a robust county, for example, and the ones that I can think of off the top of my head are all in California, but there may be some in other parts of the country, too, that have a robust conditional use permit program for renewable projects. The sole purpose of that permit may not be to protect wildlife, but they may have a component of that permit that is geared towards environmental and wildlife review and addressing the impacts on that. And they may also, as part of that permit program, have a mitigation land component to that program. Similarly, on a state level, multiple states have energy siting permit requirements. New York and Oregon are two states that have pretty robust permit programs. Also, not a primary focus of this permit program. It's not a primary focus to protect wildlife, but they may have a wildlife component to the review and may attach a condition of getting mitigation land for the project as a condition to issuing the permit.